Hello and welcome to The Advance, conversations about news and the Mid-America Union Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I'm Pablo Colindres, Digital Media Manager at the MAUC. This week's episode, I called Tim Criss, a pastor at LifeSource Adventist Fellowship in Denver, Colorado. Tim and the Table Collective will bring over 6,000 of their closest friends and neighbors and treat them to a meal on a table measuring a mile long, August 10th, at the Historic City Park in Denver.
My name is Tim Criss, and I'm a next-gen pastor out in Denver, Colorado. So I oversee a whole army of volunteers who are passionate about the next generation. So we cover birth through high school and a lot of neighborhood initiatives. We're very, very active in our neighborhood. And so we do various things such as neighborhood parties and trunk or treat events and to reach out and try and make our community a better place to live in.
I saw the news of your mile-long table on the Rocky Mountain newsletter. I just wanted to open that. That's such an awesome idea.
Yeah, it's a big cooperative effort.
How did this idea come about?
A good friend of mine that I went to seminary with, and it started out as his idea, and he's a non-denominational pastor in the area, he and a friend of his named Carrie. His name is also Tim, so I don't want to get too confusing.
Right.
That's him. So Carrie, so of the group that started this, Carrie has been doing tables for years now, and
he a carpenter or
no? She's been doing just tables to bring people together. So one of the things she found herself doing was, you know how you tend to know people in different compartments of your life. You know some people at work, and you know some people for a hobby, and you know some people at church, and you know some people from the local coffee shop or whatever. And so what she would do is she'd take a sampling of people from all of the areas of her life, and she was the common thread, and she would bring them together there around a table, and she'd decorate it really nice, and she'd bring, you know, about a dozen people on average together in that way. My friend Tim caught on to it, and they're like, hey, do you think we could do this? And I was like, this has to happen. This absolutely has to happen. And
yeah,
and in kind of the age that we live in at the moment, with all the political unrest and the racial tension and everything else going on, we felt like, yeah, it was a good way to bring people together. Then back in October, as Tim and I were talking, our church decided to kind of latch onto the idea, and so we did a 244-foot long table.
Wow.
For church. So we did church that way. We had brunch. And so there was cereal and bagels and you know, all that kind of stuff. And
right. And
we got to do church around a table, because we felt like that was a really incredibly Bible-based, if you want to say, expression of what Christianity was like from our roots.
Definitely. I also liked the idea that, you know, every time Jesus did something awesome, he had people sitting down on the table, and he did that. Tell me about why the table setting is important to your community and to you guys.
Oh man, yeah, and so we're working on actually a set of Bible studies around this idea and everything, and so, but we really feel like the table is central, and in so many ways should be central to Christianity moving forward. If you look throughout Scripture, you kind of have God's relationship with Abraham, and things kind of continue on from there. And then you have a sanctuary that becomes kind of a focal point and a temple. And then at some point in Jesus' ministry, things shift. and things shift in dramatic ways, to the point where at one point in Luke, Jesus is actually, he's accused of being a drunkard and a glutton because right. he's been eating and drinking apparently with his friends so much, you know? And he's been around a lot of tables, as you said. And he initiates this incredible thing that we call communion. And during his final week and before the crucifixion, and he says, hey, by the way, do this in remembrance of me. And he does it in a context of, again, another meal. He does it in the context of another community because in the end, we are all equal around a table. Mm-hmm. We all need to eat. And he shows an incredible amount of equality by washing feet of his disciples. And so that continues on into the early Christian tradition, where you find people in the book of Acts gathering around tables and saying, hey, do you have everything you need? Do you have everything you need? And checking in. And then apparently the needs of the community grew, because in Acts 2, they start selling their stuff in order to provide for the needs. And by Acts 4, it describes them as selling land and houses in order to provide for the needs of the group. So obviously the group grew, the needs grew, you know, there was more going on, but it still centered very much around a common table. And so they'd gather around the table, they'd eat, they'd do life together. The table very much represents who you do life with. You know, we often say the two indicators of who you're actually discipling is, who do you eat with regularly and who do you go on vacation with?
Wow.
Like, because if you're not doing those kinds of things, then you're not doing life with them, which means you're not discipling them. So we had kind of that understanding underneath it, and we felt like, well, sometimes in the institutional nature of what we do, we tend to rip things like communion out from its context, you know, and we've made it such a ritual instead of a doing life together and remembering together as we do life side by side. And so we love taking that and kind of reclaiming the table for good is the way we've termed it, reclaiming the table for good and for hope for the city of Denver.
I like that. Yeah. And so you, obviously you guys started with the 240-foot table first.
Yeah.
So how did that evolve into a mile-long table? What was the jump there? That's a pretty big jump.
It's a massive jump. So we live in the Mile High City. 5280 is a local magazine. It's, you know, that number is a big deal. And we started to talk about what would it mean to really bring Denver together around the table. And we said, well, with these kind of other things knocking around, what if, I wonder what the world record is for the world's longest table. And at the time, it was just a little shy. It was about 3/4 of a mile. So we're like, what if we do a 52.8? And so Tim got talking, the other Tim got talking with Parks and Rec a little bit. He reserved it. And then, you know, by God's leading, he ended up with a meeting with the mayor's office, the mayor of the city of Denver, Mayor Hancock. Wow. And they were like, yes, let's make this happen. Like any connections we can give you, whatever we can do, let's make this happen. And so I helped Tim, like at that point, we're like, uh-oh, God's doing something and we got to catch up a little bit here, you know? So I helped him kind of, we put together an organization chart and I was already scheduled. I'm actually scheduled to go on sabbatical this summer for June and July. And so I was like, we're going to need a lot of people to pull this off because, so we have this massive org chart and we use this, it's called a fractal system of organization and it's represented by circles of teams. And it's really neat because if you look at the org chart, it kind of looks like multiple tables coming together, nice. Kind of round tables. But so, excuse me. So we started talking with the mayor's office. And then at one point there was even a donor that sat down and said, hey, I'm going to, you know, $100,000, no problem. Like this needs to happen. Wow. And And so we started talking, and the mayor's office ended up reaching out to the other 32 mayors in the area of the greater city of, you know, the greater metro area of Denver. And all 33 mayor's offices have committed to be at the table.
Wow.
Which is really cool. One of our teams, their one and only goal is to make sure there's complete diversity at the table. Diversity in gender, in nationality, in religious beliefs, in political parties, in economic class, in vocation, all of these things. And so we're reaching out, and different entities will be able to kind of, you'll get like two tickets, and the two of you and the person you come with, because tickets are sold in pair. Well, they're not sold, they're given in pairs, and you'll become a host to a table. And so we're encouraging different faith communities and things that are in the Denver itself take priority, but to kind of host and provide, set up chairs, provide, and then food trucks will bring the food in. And we're actually, here's a hint. So in the process, a couple of weeks ago, the world record was broken. By a corporation in a very corporation kind of way to do it. We're still going to set the world record. So we're still calling it a 5280 table, but I'll wait for the after report to tell you how long it is, but it's going to be longer than a mile. Because we have a new record to target, but it's really exciting, to reach out and say, hey, no matter how we might disagree, no matter how we might do life differently, no matter how our perspectives might be different and change, we're all Denverites. We all live here for us, and we all do life alongside one another, whether we know it or not sometimes. Hmm. And can we sit down and say, hey, we are in common. Let's be a neighbor. I want to be for you. I want you to be for me, even through a disagreement. And so we've even asked the mayors to leave their political parties at the door. Not that there's a door, but
right.
It'll be set up for us. It's set up here in City Park, and it goes all the way around a big lake at City Park. It goes by the Denver Zoo and the Museum of Nature and Science, and you know, it's a popular place that people run 5K. Races and things like that, but
right, that's awesome.
Incredible experience.
Yeah. So what were some of the challenges that you guys faced in doing this?
Finances. So one of the things we didn't want to do was charge people for it, because at that point you end up in a middle to upper class event, and that's no longer inclusive, and so. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to have it paid for, and the materials for a table that we have to construct, right? So if a bunch of churches whooped out their 6-foot folding tables and put them end to end, I think the world record for doing a table like that is over 3 miles. So,
wow.
So we are actually building the table.
Yeah.
Figuring out how to pay for that, figuring out how to have the manpower to build that in a day.
And then tear it down again in a day.
And then, it's funny you mentioned tearing it down. One of the things, so in the design, we have a team of people that's working on the design of the table, and they're building it in, and they're playing around with 6, 8, 10-foot sections. They're not sure for sure exactly, but that will then be fastened together. But in the tearing down, we'll actually be able to unfasten them, and we're going to give those sections of table out to different neighborhoods all around the Denver metro area. And so we're super pumped up to say, hey, here's a section of our table so that you can invite others in your neighborhood around the table so that you can keep this going. Can we make Denver the most hospitable city in the country? And here's a gift to you. So they'll all be branded. They'll say, you know, 5280 table on them and things like that, which will be really fun. So it'll be a memento, and it should mean something by that point.
Mm-hmm.
We thought about, okay, if we're all sitting, how do we keep everybody together at the table? Because right. you've got a mile of table. How do you do a program across a mile, you know? So we're actually going to be live streaming things, and people at their tables can tune in via their mobile devices.
Nice.
So yeah, that pulls people together. How do you feed, you know, it's going to be over 6,000 people. How do you feed 6,000 people other than, you know, some fish and loaves? So our fish and loaves are the food trucks of Denver. We said, well, what if we reached out to food trucks around Denver and said, hey, we're gonna pay you, and if you want a little tax break, give us a little break. So depending on which food truck is kind of assigned to your section of table, you have no idea what you're gonna eat August 10. Like, if you're coming, it's like there's no guarantees. And, you know, vegetarian or otherwise, there's just like whatever is placed before you, it's going to be a more Paul-like experience. Right. So here it is. Here's what you get to eat. But to allow those food trucks to pull people together and things like that too. So figuring out how to do that. The other thing is safety concerns across all of that, because with the tragedy that happened last night. Manchester, and with the things that happen.
The new thing seems to be running cars into people, and this is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this would be, unfortunately, that would be a horrific thing to have something like that take place. And so figuring out security is one of the things we're working with Parks and Rec and the mayor's office and things like that on. How do we, you know, make sure things are secure in something that really should, we want to represent our community well.
How has the community engaged with this project? Have you guys been hearing any feedback yet, or?
Oh my goodness. Like, God has taken this thing, and it's the entire process is just trying to keep up with it. it's leadership of catch up, you know what I mean? Trying to catch up and be like, okay, what's going on, huh? Because every single person that we mention it to says, oh, I want to be part of that. Oh, can right. I be there? Like, at first we're like, well, how are we going to find 6,000 people that want? And now we're like, oh, wait, never mind. We need to like limit, and we have to be, you know, just to make sure we have the diversity as we go through and hand out tickets. We got to make sure we have the diversity that we need. Mm-hmm. So community wide, it's been incredible. One Republic, the band, is from Denver and heard about it. And we're talking with them. They may be interested even in doing a concert afterwards to kind of celebrate it for free for people in the park. And just there are so many different ways in which various organizations around Denver have really just said, hey, yeah, no problem. We had a warehouse space to store the tables, just donated. They're like, oh, here you go.
Wow.
You know,
it seems like everyone just wants to pitch in as much as they can, huh?
Yeah, because it's about unity. There's no, and this is a huge, huge part to say, is that there is no catch. Mm-hmm. This is, we're doing this because we want us as a community to be together. Because I think that's what Jesus would do. He didn't say, oh, I'm going to go to a wedding to make sure their marriage is solid, you know. No, I'm gonna go to a wedding, and I'm gonna turn water into wine, and I'm gonna make sure the party continues. I'm gonna make sure people are in a community that means something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we really want to just pull people together, and I think that's something that people can stand behind, because the amount of fear and trepidation that exists today.
One of the questions I sent you, I think I'm going to circle back to. What are your three main goals, if you could put it that way, that you want to achieve with this table?
Absolutely. I would say the first goal is to bring hope. That there is hope because we're all still here.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's hope because of Jesus. And in the end, we started, there's a nonprofit that we had to start called the Table Collective. In order to kind of oversee this project, and then other cities have talked to us, but we're like, hang on, let us figure one out first. but we want to bring hope. The second, I think, is hospitality. that we want to make sure that people understand that it does matter if you reach out and invite and create a culture of invitation. And it does matter if you respond to that invitation. You know, I love Jesus' parable of the banquet, and a bunch of people were too busy, so he went out to the streets and he's like, hey, come to a party.
Right.
You know, and so we want this idea that, hey, inviting matters, responding to invitation matters, because that's what creates a real culture of hospitality. So we'd really hope for an incredible level of hospitality here in Denver. And then I'd say our third goal is to realize that faith can be talked about in a way that we do life together.
Okay.
Not in a way where we stand up at a pulpit and we preach at people, but in a way we talk to people. So, you know, a lot of people have said, well, where are you going to talk about Jesus? And I'm like, well, if you're going to be at the table, that's up to you.
Right.
It's on you. The table is to bring people together, to have discussions, whether it's about faith or politics or the Colorado Rockies surprisingly having a good season. You know, I don't know, whatever it is you'd like to talk about it. Like we've shoved off so much of that responsibility.
Yeah.
To organizations, to pastors, to churches, to faith groups, instead of owning it on a personal level and saying, hang on, this is like, I get to choose how to interact with the people around me and how to invest in their lives. So I would say those would be our three primary goals.
Okay. Yeah. You mentioned other cities. Obviously when we put this out, it's going to be more people listening about and knowing about this. So there's a lot of people watching. What do you want the people who are watching, not actually at the tables, having those conversations, and you know, living that hospitality? What do you want them to come away with?
If you're watching, I want you to come away with the incredible hope and passion that you can do this. Like, if we can bring 6,000 people around a mile long table, then you can bring a few people over and people you may not know well, and you can reach out beyond your comfort zone to people that you might normally walk around, even that you might cross to the other side of the street to avoid, right? That doesn't have to happen. You can reach out to those people. You can include, and all it takes is, hey, do you want to have lunch? Do you want to have dinner? You know, I was watching the news recently, and I saw a story of a pretty successful millennial business guy, and he would always walk down this homeless street, and obviously he's well dressed, he's on his way to work, so he gets a lot of people asking him for money, except there was this one lady, and this one lady just said, hey, have a great day, you know, God bless, have a great day. And he's like, well, that's different. And so he said, hey, let's go to lunch. So they go to lunch, and he hears her story, and he finds out she's homeless because she can't read. Here's an American, never taught to read. And so they now do lunch once a week, and he teaches her to read. He brings a book from the library. They read it together. She goes and practices it the rest of the week, and he brings another book the next week, and he's teaching her how to read. Like that's powerful.
Right.
That's so powerful. So I hope people just come away with an incredible passion and an understanding that, hey, let's break down some of our spiritual language and just start with the simple fact that we do life with other people.
I know right now it's really hectic, and I'm sure that once the table's over, you're going to say never again. But I mean, at least that same day. Are you guys thinking of maybe like responding to other cities, see if everything goes right, of course. But is this something that you guys think that has a promise to it?
It definitely does. You know, I'll tell you, it's fascinating. So I mentioned that Tim, who is when we created the nonprofit, he's the head of it, if you will, and he was a non-denominational pastor of a church. And the church had gone through all sorts of things. It had been a church plant a few years ago, and the guy that planted it left and kind of left Tim high and dry. And he he actually sat down and he wasn't sure what to do. Like, some attendance had dwindled. They were down around like 50 people. And so he started having these conversations. The table was coming up, and recently they decided to, just to kind of reframe what you think church could be like, they decided as a church community to close and not do a worship service every week, which in our understanding is like the penultimate definition of church.
Right.
For whatever reason, is a weekly worship service. And instead to eat together regularly. So they eat together in small groups regularly, and then once a month they come together around a longer table. And they decided to invest in creating tables throughout Denver. And that's their church. That's their family on mission, if you will. And I love that because it redefines that. And so I think anything that says, hey, let's redefine, let's bring people together, let's lift up the table and the head of the table, you know, being Jesus, and let's lift that up. And if that means doing some more tables in other cities, there's a possibility. I know one friend of mine was like, okay, next table has to be down the mall in Washington, D.C., you know. I'd be like, yeah, that would be something.
That would be something, yeah.
But you know, yeah, so I think there's definitely opportunity, because anytime we can help bring hope and pull people together and do it in a way that people can get excited about, it's worth doing. I think the simple fact that people get excited shows how much hope it brings.
For us people who might not be able to be there, is there any way we can help from afar?
You absolutely can. Number one, if anybody wants to donate, we would love that. We still are looking for donors, but I'm gonna go past the whole finance thing because everybody needs finances. Biggest thing is prayer. One of the things we're working on and will be released within the next few weeks is a prayer event that we're gonna put up on the Table Collective website.
And what is it, that website? So,
thetablecollective.org, and 5280table.org is the event. So if you want to check into that, but we're going to put up a prayer event on that website and try and push it out there via social media so that churches can hold a prayer event for the table and pray for the table. The day before so the weekend before is when we're hoping churches will be able to do that prayer event. And then the day before, which is a Wednesday, August 9, just commit to prayer again, because we're going to be actually inviting any faiths that would like to meet us down at the park that night as they're finishing up the table and they're building it, to pray there for the next day's event. So I'm really excited that we get to do that. So, and then beyond that, like, lift up the table more in our communities. Like, we've made the sanctuary for some reason so central, and people are central. It's not a building, it's people. And what brings together people better than a table?
Right. Any last things you want to let us know about before we go?
I think just, I think that's pretty much it. I'm pretty stoked about this thing.
Yeah, so. Definitely. We all are. That sounds awesome. Thanks for your time. I really do appreciate it. And good luck with that table. That sounds awesome. I'll keep an eye out for everything that's going on with it.
Thanks for reaching out. And invite some people around the table. And when you do, just reflect. Like, that is where people said, hey, what needs do we have? And what can we fill? And in doing so, as Jesus said, and as you do to the least of these, you do to me. Like, that was his mandate above all. It was like, hey, how are you treating the people that need you? Mm-hmm. And I think maybe sometimes we get caught up with, oh, I donated some money to this organization, or, you know, I gave a homeless guy a sack lunch. The harder thing is to invite him to a table. and say, hey, I want to do life with you. I'm going to walk you through this right now.
Thanks for listening to The Advance. Please join us next time.